Hello, everybody. It's Sam from Financial Samurai, and I hope everyone is having a wonderful holiday season. What a year it's been, and this podcast is simply a recap of my personal year and also a recording so I can tell my son when he grows up and starts rebelling against me how hard I tried this year to make things work. So although 2018 ended on a down note with the stock market selling off, I feel good about how things unfolded. I'll take a ratio of three good quarters to one bad quarter any year. And believe it or not, my theme for 2018 was back to early retirement life. I had pushed myself to the point of burnout in 2017 multiple times. And I'm afraid to read my 2017 recap because I don't want to get stressed out again. But the funny thing is about hard work is that it's over, right? All that hard work you put in is done, and you are going to experience all the rewards of that hard work into the future. I only remember bits and pieces of how difficult 2017 was, yet I'm still standing after an even harder 2018, because 2017 is when my son was born, and as a new parent, man, that is really, really tough. At year end, it's easy to forget our accomplishments and our failures. That's why if you're an employee, I always recommend you manage up and remind your bosses what you did in the first and second quarter in particular. Trust me, folks, bosses have no memory of what you've done. They only think about what you've done for them lately. So this is a good exercise for me, and I'm excited to relive the good and the bad in the following categories: finances, family, health, business, and odds and ends. This is like a 4-for-1 special, so it's going to be pretty long, but I need to be thorough because I know I'm going to forget what I wrote and what I've been talking about, you know, years down the road. So first, I want to start with my finances. I'm going to give it 2.5 out of 5 stars. So that's pretty poor, and I'll tell you why. In the beginning of the year, I predicted a slowdown in coastal city real estate, check. A 10-year bond yield under 3%, check. And a stock market that would have one last hurrah with a 10% return. So that clearly was a mistake. And when you get 1 out of 3 wrong, that's like a D grade, right? So the stock market was up about 8% up until about September. Too bad it gave up all its gains and then some. I mean, we had one of the most brutal fourth quarters and the second most brutal Decembers in the history of the stock market since the Great Depression in the 1930s. I mean, it was just unbelievable, the unrelenting selling. It was just giving me some PTSD here, which was reminding me of the 2008 crisis, where every single day you'd see like a 1-3% sell-off, indiscriminate selling, no confidence in the Fed who screwed us, the government, Trump, who just gives us no confidence, right? The trade wars, all this crazy rhetoric. I mean, firing so many people in his cabinet. I mean, who is going to have confidence to move forward with this type of stuff going on? So my net worth is roughly made up of 30% in stocks and bonds, and that's down about 2%. Now, I guess that's an outperforming record since the stock market was down like 8-10%. But after writing Your Risk Tolerance is an Illusion, Wait Until You Make, or sorry, Lose Big Money, in the spring, I reduced my stock allocation in my house sale fund to roughly 52% stocks from 70% stocks. And as bonds began to outperform stocks and stocks, you know, started taking a real big beating, and after I sold a little bit more, my end of year allocation in stocks was roughly 40% with the rest in bonds. So owning a bunch of equity structured notes in my other main fund has helped minimize the volatility, but clearly I wasn't defensive enough and should have taken more profits during the summer. I mean, this is so frustrating for me. I am very, very disappointed in my public investment portfolio. You know, if I had followed my own advice, you know, I've been writing about a potential downturn since the end of 2017 when I talked about this post where I said it feels a lot like 2007, right? You know, this was clearly me telling everyone and telling myself, look, things are getting a little bit crazy now. You want to take down risk. And if you saw with my top post for 2018, written in 2018, I had at least 6 posts saying, hey, you know, be careful now. You know, you want to manage your risk. You don't want to lose all your money. So I really screwed myself. This goes to show that no matter how concerned you are about an asset class or the economy, greed, greed can really override logic, and I was greedy. So if I had followed my own advice, I should have had no more than 20% of my net worth in the stock market, but I didn't, all right? I had 30%. So that's a 50% increase in what I should have had. And maybe these numbers don't sound super high to you, but they are high on an absolute dollar amount. You know, millions of dollars were exposed to the stupid stock market, which I continue to not like. And so if you look at the post, there's a great chart that shows that the Vanguard Long-Term Bond Fund has outperformed the S&P 500 since 1999. Really interesting. So 20-year total return after the fourth quarter of 2018, the long-term bond index fund has outperformed, right? So this goes to show me, and it's a reminder to me, that slow and steady wins the race, especially if you've already passed the finish line. So I feel that I'm a total idiot for taking all this exposure with my family's future that I did not need to take. All right, let's move on. 6% of my net worth is in cash and CDs, and so that was up about 2.3%. The good thing about rising rates, hey, you can get higher risk-free rates of return, right? Money market accounts, you can get about 2%. 12-month CDs, you can get about 2.5%. So the bottom line is that cash and short-term CDs outperformed the S&P 500 by 10%+ in 2018. Now, we do have one or two more trading days to go, and who knows? But I just hope that folks no longer badger me about the risks of underperforming inflation when the real risk is actually losing absolute dollar value, folks. Don't worry about missing out, you know, not keeping up with inflation. It's much better to only make 2% than lose 8 to 10%, folks. All right, next. 30% of my net worth is in real estate. I'm going to assign a negative 5% value. So all the online estimates like Redfin, Zillow, and so forth say my real estate holdings have gone up about 6% year over year. But I doubt this to be the case now since all these estimates are lagging estimates, lagging data, right? You know, these charts that come out by the economists and these platforms, they're just showing data from third quarter. So that's before the fourth quarter meltdown. Therefore, I've manually inputted a negative 5% performance on my San Francisco and Lake Tahoe properties instead of a +5, +6% performance. So that's like a 10%, 11% swing. And I need that to be true because I don't want to be delusional in my net worth calculations. So even though my real estate holdings are down, I actually don't feel any stress compared to my stock holdings. This is one of the main reasons why I love real estate over stocks. One rental property in San Francisco has no mortgage. I paid that off in 2015. My primary residence, the mortgage is not as large as it once was, right about in 2014. And it's providing utility. We're just enjoying our lives, creating amazing memories with my son. And our vacation property in Lake Tahoe is generating a positive cash flow. And I can't wait after 11 years of owning this thing to finally bring my boy up to Lake Tahoe so he can touch his first snow. I mean, that is going to be so, so cool. So it is unfortunate that I reinvested a little over $600,000 of the $1.8 million in proceeds from my house sale in June 2017 into the stock market, right? It was doing well, and then it just, everything went away and then some. I should have stayed super conservative, especially since I've been thinking about buying a larger primary residence within the next about three years in Hawaii, hopefully, or San Francisco. But the only good thing is that I suspect the best I could get now for the house that I sold for $2.74 million is probably around $2.5 million. Back in 2017, I was hoping that I could get $2.5 million, but there was a frenzy. But you know what? There wasn't that huge of a frenzy. I only got one offer. I can't, you know, rewrite history. I only got one offer after 40 days of showing. So, you know, it only takes one, but, you know, one offer is not a frenzy. So let me just correct myself there. But it was a great offer. My house was on a busy street next to the busiest street in all of San Francisco. So, you know, these fringe location properties tend to underperform drastically during a market softening. And I clearly remember in 2012 when I tried to sell the property, I got no offers. All right, next, 8% of my net worth is in alternative investments. I'm going to assign a plus 5% performance, even though all the literature these guys tell me is like plus 11% to plus 20% IRR. You know, these figures are way too aggressive probably, and I just need to be conservative. However, if you look at REITs, you know, I have a post back a month ago. REITs have actually outperformed the stock market quite drastically. Rental property, you know, it's pretty good. It's like a defensive asset class here because rents are pretty sticky, right? I remember back in 2008, 2009, my rent stayed flat because by the time the lease was over, the recession was over, and I was able to raise rents again. So it's something to think about. And then finally, 20% of my net worth is in the online business, right? So what I'm talking to you about right now, the podcast, the writing, Financial Samurai, I'm going to assign a 0% weighting, or sorry, not 0% weighting, 0% growth, but it could be up as much as 150%. And let me explain. Revenue and profits are up about 20% year over year. Therefore, one might conclude that its value should also be up about 20% year over year. However, valuations have probably compressed since the stock market has sold off. The good thing is, this is really good and really exciting, and I'm going to write about this in a future post, is that a peer site similar to Financial Samurai, I don't think is good, and it has 35% less traffic, sold for 2 times the value I assigned for my business in my net worth calculations. Therefore, there's a possibility, just a possibility, my site could be worth 2 times to 2.5 times my assigned value if we normalize for traffic. Now, from an estate planning perspective, I want my business to be valued as low as possible. It's the same logic as how you want your house to be valued as low as possible to pay less property tax. Now, of course, when you sell your business, you want it to be valued as high as possible. Same with your house or any other asset. And so, you know, to prepare for the hard times, I've kept my business at 0% growth in my net worth calculations. And we'll talk a little bit more about this down the line in the podcast. So overall, net worth growth was about plus 6%, maybe plus 7%, but, you know, not that terrific, frankly. And the reason why it's up 6% or up at all is because of strong business cash flow and aggressive savings. I continue to save over 70% of my after-tax income. And if I didn't save aggressively, my net worth probably would have been flat because my investments are basically down. 6% is okay, but at one point I was up about 10%. And if you go to the post, you can see the chart progression. So it feels a little disappointing. And 10% year-over-year growth has always been my minimum net worth growth target since graduating from college. But you know what? Despite the only 6% growth, I'm glad, at least, my net worth didn't go in reverse. The number one mantra for all financially independent people should be, never lose money, right? Never lose money. Otherwise, you're going to risk having to go in reverse and losing all that time and stuff. So if you're feeling a little bummed out about 2018, you know, losing money in your stocks, real estate probably, and other risk assets, I encourage you to look back at your net worth 5 to 10 years ago and see how far you've come. And if you do that, I think you'll be more appreciative of what a great bull market we've experienced. All right, so next category, family and fatherhood. I'm gonna give myself a 4.9 out of 5 stars. I could not have tried harder to be a great stay-at-home dad. You know, I realize I only have one shot at this. He's only gonna be 1, 2, 3 years old once in his life. So I did everything I could to educate myself about parenthood, and I did everything I could to spend as much time as I could with my son. My greatest moments of joy all year came from seeing my son's milestones. You know, he started waddling with help or standing at around 11 months. I think he crawled at around eight months, something like that. And then he started slowly walking unassisted at 12 to 13 months. And by 18 months, he was able to count to 30, say all letters of the alphabet, and identify 8 different colors, which I thought was pretty interesting because based on the research that I read, kids don't really differentiate between colors until about 3 years old or something like that. His favorite words and phrases at 20 months old now are hot dog, ketchup, yum, 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 double wide garage door, walk with daddy, knock, knock, verde, voila, and ta hai pao. which means big seal in Mandarin. He's also just begun to sing a couple lullabies, which I had no idea he could do. His mom, my wife, has been singing to him in Japanese and in French over the past couple weeks, and I was totally blown away. I was totally astounded. I took a video and I showed my parents. So, so cool. We do try to talk to him in multiple languages, as supposedly that helps brain development. I know he's not going to remember much of anything these first 3 to 5 years, but son, if you're listening, we're trying to talk to you in a lot of languages and help you develop as much as possible. You're hilarious, he's hilarious, and he's full of determination. Oh boy, is he full of determination. So when I'm not working on Financial Samurai or managing our investments that are blowing up, I pretend I'm a preschool teacher and occupational therapist. Because he does have a vision issue, I've been helping him track objects, work on his depth perception, you know, specifically and particularly when he's walking up and down stairs. That's really dangerous, right? And I'm working on his hand-eye coordination. And now we're focusing on his fine motor skills like drawing, holding a crayon and pencil, brushing his teeth. Whoa, we really have to brush his teeth more. We got to figure that out. Playing piano keys, trying to strum the guitar, and using scissors, which is kind of dangerous and nerve-wracking, but we'll figure it out. So the duties are never ending as a parent, but it's been a blessing to care for him every day and watch him grow. So my greatest sorrows have also come from my son. Man, I have not felt this type of sorrow so often and so much before. So between 11 and 15 months old, he would fall frequently or accidentally bonk his head on something hard or sharp. I instantly felt his pain each time because he cried and, you know, it was just so, so heartbreaking. And I admonished myself every time for not doing a better job protecting him. You know, why did I look away? Why didn't I catch him? Why didn't I save him? And it's just so, so heartbreaking. You know, so as a result of these accidents, I ended up padding the entire house, you know, every single hardwood place, every single wall and table corner, everything. So I don't care that my house looks ridiculous now. It's all about safety. And thank goodness we live in a modest-sized house because, man, it took forever. It took months of piecemeal ordering more and more padding, more and more strips. It was crazy. But the padding has saved him from injury numerous times, including on Christmas when he stumbled on a package and hit his head on our coffee leg corner, which was padded. So I'm really, really thankful. You know, our house looks really ridiculous. And check out the pictures in the post. I've got all these multiple color pads, and no interior designer will be willing to step into our house again. So it turns out that toddlers between 12 to 19 months fall about 17 times an hour on average, according to one study of 120 toddlers. So this made me feel a little bit better. Only until about age 4 do most toddlers fully master their walking and running skills. But it still made me so sad whenever he hurt himself. It's so sad. Like, I don't know. You know, like there's some Marvel characters that are empaths where they immediately feel, you know, your pain and emotion. I think that's me. So taking him for a walk with a harness has tremendously helped. There was this one time when I didn't have the harness, and this before I had the harness idea, he was just walking, la 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 la, and then boom, on his knees, and then face plant on the hard ground. So that was just so bad. And I'm teaching him to look both ways now before crossing the street. It's also interesting for parents out there that it takes 24 months before a toddler's fontanelle closes. So the fontanelle are these bony plates that start growing and fusing and getting stronger by 24 months. If you know you touch a baby's top of the skull, there's like a soft spot. And so logically, I guess, you know, if it takes 24 months before the skull closes, then it probably takes 24 months of some serious, serious caretaking to make sure he doesn't fall on his head. You know, there's so many things you got to think about of parenthood for survival. It's just survival, you know, preventing suffocation while sleeping, right? SIDS, do you lay him on the back is best, you know, or, you know, on the tummy. You want to make sure they don't walk off a ledge, all these things. But, you know, the better our boy sleeps, you know, thank goodness at 20 months, he's finally sleeping more regularly through the night. And the more he's able to communicate his desires, the more rewarding parenthood has become. Because he's so strong-willed, his temper tantrums are also quite a challenge. So, you know, according to doctors, temper tantrums peak at around 24 months and then subside a little and then rise again at 36 months. So he's 20 months now, so I've got to be super prepared to demonstrate maximum patience as a parent for the next 18 months. And I know I can do it, I just need to prepare myself. And this is really, really a challenge. It's been really a challenge, right? Before my son was born, there was never any whining or crying around the house. You know, but once he arrived, it was crying and whining every day, multiple times a day for 20 months in a row. And unfortunately, there's no logical reasoning with a young child, except to use a technique called caveman speak, you know, where you say something like hungry, 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 or angry, 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 you know, stuff like that, where you voice what he or she is thinking, what you think he or she is thinking in order to calm him down. So adjusting to this new scenario has been hard for me. It's very difficult to be creative with all this noise knock, knock, hello, when you're just working from home, right? Think about, you know, trying to write something or record this podcast or just mentally relax. It's really difficult. And as a result, I've been looking for a larger house for us to live in so I can kind of escape to my office where, you know, no sound can be heard. You know, I've often had to wake up, you know, it's crazy, at 3 a.m., 4 a.m. Now, 3 a.m. started after daylight savings because I was starting to wake up at 4 a.m. because I needed to get more work done before they, you know, woke up. But once daylight savings came, I was like, okay, I'm naturally waking up at 3 a.m. now. And so I don't know how I got through that. That was a really, really rough time. But hey, I'm here, right? And we're almost at year end. So fine, it's all good. I still got to improve on my patience with my wife and not let business stress or stock market stress hurt our relationship. You know, we operate at different paces, different frequencies. You know, a lot of people operate at different paces and different frequencies. And I need to do a better job slowing down. You know, my biggest problem is patience. Patience, patience, patience. I need to breathe, to meditate, to slow down. The whole point of financial independence is to be free from money stress to live your best life. Our goal is to both stay full-time parents for at least our son's first 2 years of life and ideally try to be full-time parents for 5 years before he attends kindergarten. And so in conclusion for this section, I give myself 4.9 stars because I couldn't have tried harder. I don't think I could have done much better. Now, it doesn't mean I was a great father, but I know, you know, if I die tomorrow, I know that I did my very, very best to try to become a great father. And I don't give myself 5 stars here because I need to work on my patience. And there are times when I just was not really patient. I was kind of snippy, you know, and I just need to breathe, meditate, and just slow down. So next, health and fitness, 3.3 stars out of 5. I'm the same weight as I was in 2017, which is okay, but I gained 5 pounds in 2017, which is not okay. I did exercise 3 times a week on average, right? Tennis, softball, and I took light walks with my son 3 to 5 times a week on average. You know, we're out every time around an hour, so I'm assuming I walked at least a mile every time we had a light walk. So given my goal is to live until 75, or whenever my son can establish himself as an independent man and find a loving partner, it's important for me to stay in shape and maintain my mental and physical health. Luckily, I had no serious injuries or medical mishaps this year. I did catch a flu-like virus that knocked me out for 1.5 days in October, but that was it. We did have our first emergency room visit, unfortunately, at 5 a.m., because my son seemed to have come down with a similar virus, but it wasn't from me because it was about a month and a half later or so. That was really scary, but he recovered within 24 hours, and it gives us an idea of what it's like to go to the emergency room, right? Like, think about the positives. We know where to go, how to check in, the protocol, what to bring, and so forth. At 41, I still haven't sprouted any gray hairs, which is a peculiarity since I got my first several gray hairs at age 33, the year before I left my day job for good. Now, the only reason I can imagine for this phenomena is that not working a full-time job is less stressful and that perhaps I wasn't as stressed this year than I thought I was. You know, it's one thing to say how much better life is after achieving financial independence. It's another thing for the body to show us. You can't really mask what your body does, right? So that makes me really happy. It really, really is cool that, you know, the wrinkles haven't really come yet and the gray hairs haven't come yet. Oh, and I haven't, you know, been losing my hair either. So that's cool. My most fun physical addition has been joining a softball meetup group that plays every Saturday. It doesn't rain. Shout out to Steven, the organizer. I must have played over 25 games in 2018. And my highlight was drafting and captaining my very first 4th of July softball tournament and winning, which was so, so cool. You know, it has nothing to do with money, but I felt so satisfied with this event. And I wrote about it. And then finally, I found out in December I wasn't getting bumped down to 4.5 in USTA tennis from 5.0. And that was, you know, I think it was a surprise. I did poorly in 5.0 league at the beginning of the year, and I was hoping to get bumped down after 3 seasons. And when I didn't, I appealed. Swallowed my pride, and I appealed, and I got denied. So this level is crazy tough, actually. It feels good to be in the top 1% of all tennis players. You know, from an ego's perspective, you're just walking around with your chest out and you start thinking like you're the man. And then after you start getting repeatedly beaten down by players younger and better than you, you start thinking, maybe this is not so fun. Therefore, I always try and make fun of myself first before my buddies can make fun of me. And I just say, hey, you know what? The computers must have a virus or must have malfunctioned to keep me at this level. It's a good achievement, but I'm kind of sick of losing at the 5-0 level. All right, next, business. I'm going to give it 4.9 stars. I also could not have tried harder to build Financial Samurai. Here are some of the accomplishments. Published 3 posts a week on average. Published 3 pages a week on average. Published 1 newsletter a week on average. Improved my short-form writing skills with the newsletter. Produced over 30 podcasts, including this one. Did several podcast interviews on other platforms. Launched the Financial Samurai Forum with 1,300 members, thanks to my wife, who set everything up over a year. Got mentioned in publications like Business Insider, CNBC, MarketWatch, MSN, Apple News, Forbes, and Yahoo. Updated How to Engineer Your Layoff with a new forward for 2019. And most importantly, increased overall traffic by 20% year over year, with 50% year over year increase in traffic growth between August 11th to now. Now, this 50% year over year traffic surge since August 11th seems like an anomaly. It's crazy. It's like turning a cruise ship into a speedboat. It just doesn't happen. But it's been almost 4 months where this traffic has sustained its higher level. So what's going on? I think it might be a combination of more production, search algorithm changes by Google, which would be great, and content syndication. And this December will be my highest traffic month all year and highest December ever to remember December. So I don't know. Things are good, and I hope it sustains into the new year. Even if it loses half its growth, let's say it's only 25%, I'll take it. So overall, I'm just really happy. There's been a correlation with effort and reward. That's all I've ever wanted. Hence, part of the reason why I left work in 2012, because that correlation broke down. Every year since the birth of Financial Samurai in 2009, Financial Samurai has drastically outperformed the S&P 500 and the San Francisco real estate market. It's not even close. And this is why blogging has surpassed real estate as my favorite asset class to build wealth. And real estate has far surpassed stocks as my favorite asset class over a decade ago. It's not even close. Stocks just bum me out, and this year just proves it once again. So in the post, just to make myself feel a little bit better, if in case you know, I'm feeling down or sorry for myself or my boy is just whining a little too much and I'm going a little nuts, I updated my net worth chart where I manually inputted a business value based on the recent comparable sales. And instead of a 6% jump, we're talking about a 30% jump, baby. And that looks really nice and it looks really ridiculous. So that's why I'm not going to really count on it. Because it'll bring a false sense of complacency. And when the economy softens, the last thing you want to do is be complacent because you're going to get run over. And finally, Life's Odds and Ends, 4.3 stars out of 5. In May, I helped coach my high school varsity boys tennis team to the Northern California Sectional Championship. This was amazing because it's the first championship in the school's entire 40-year history. And it was really sweet because we had come so close getting to the finals in 2017, only to lose to a school three times our size. My parents came to visit me multiple times from Hawaii, and so did my in-laws, so that was really great. Further, I strengthened a couple pretty nice relationships. One guy, really cool, we hung out a lot. It's kind of like we've developed a brotherhood, you know, we're the same age, similar industries, we like similar things like tennis, and it's just been so fun to build this relationship. Well, further, I developed a new in-person relationship with a Financial Samurai reader and maybe listener who also so happens to be a professional athlete on my favorite basketball team here in the Bay Area. So that was really cool and really neat. So shout out to Dot there. Also, I did some decent home maintenance projects this year. I can't forget because they're all pain in the butts. Caulked the top of our living room windowsill outside to prevent leaks. Varnished all our wood planter boxes after, let's see, it's been 3 years, 4 years now. I rooted the upstairs sink that was clogging. Re-roofed the leaking light. Well, I didn't do it. I hired someone to do it because, gosh, there was this leak that's been there for 4 years, I guess. You know, I maintained the yard and I fixed a leaky faucet at my rental. So these things, man, it makes me happy I don't have another rental that I'm so glad I sold it in 2017. And then finally, we finalized our will and revocable living trust. Shout out to my wife who spent, she said, 40 hours reading documents, going back and forth, and just getting this thing through before year end. Super cumbersome, super complicated process. I wrote a post about it that everybody should read. There were so many documents to gather and go through. But after we finally signed all the documents on December 20th, 2018, so for the records out there, in case we disappear, I felt a huge sense of relief that I could die knowing that my wife and son wouldn't have to go through probate court. So think about it as, you know, having directions to a treasure instead of, you know, being plopped in the middle of the jungle and having no idea where to go. At least this direction stuff is going to be good. So it's an act of kindness, I think. So overall, I'm going to give 2018 3.8 out of 5 stars. If we had ended the market up, I would have given it like 4.5 to 4.8 stars. But, you know, we finally got into bear market territory, and that's so sad. It's so sad after, you know, what is it, like 9 years or whatever since 2009 where we've just been going straight up. So I don't have any regrets trying my best to work on Financial Samurai. You know, I started developing an endurance for the longer days, so they did become easier. And I don't think I'll ever change my work ethic until my body starts breaking down. Or, you know, like my mind just starts shutting off. It's going to eventually happen, which is why I want to maximize what I can do right now. And it's so, so joyable. It's so awesome to be able to write because it's a tangible product, right? You just produce it and, you know, it's there and can be consumed by everyone. You know, podcasts, not my favorite thing. These things take a long time, but they can be heard. And I just think it's great. And it's been hard to no longer accept making a positive return on my public investments. And I really, really need to do a better job in not letting financial loss negatively affect my mood and my relationship with my wife. It's just so, so important I get this right in 2019. And I know I'll get better. What else? You know, I screwed myself, self-inflicted wound by having too much exposure to stocks in 2018, despite telling myself and telling everybody that it should be important to be a little bit more careful as the economy slows down. And I also have zero regrets being a stay-at-home dad all year. Man, it was tough. It's tough to also give up a healthy income for 2 years. But sometimes you just have to say screw the money in order to maximize time with your loved ones. The days were extremely long, and there were many, 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 many moments of frustration. But just hearing his squeals of joy made it every day worth it, made every single day worth it. And all I want to do is squeeze him and kiss him. hundreds and hundreds of times a day. And I know he just kind of squeals out of there. He's like, no, no, daddy, but that's all I want to do. And I'm so thankful. My wife has been an amazing mother and partner all year. So family and Financial Samurai are my two great loves. Everything comes a distant second. I love my family for obvious reasons. There was a point where we thought we'd never have a child. And so we say a prayer every single night of thanks. And Financial Samurai has been with me since the bottom of the last financial crisis in 2009. So it's like an old friend that has stuck with me in the worst of times. Or it might kind of be like my son, you know. It's my 10-year-old son now. So the key is to not let my two loves collide, but to let them be synergistic. So I want to thank everyone for listening and reading all this year. It's been a tough year. It's been a long year, but it's been a good year. You know, if anything, 3 stars and above is okay, right? And I hope my son is proud of me. I hope that when he grows up, you know, he'll just say one day, you know, thanks for working hard and thanks for being there for me. That's all I really, really want. So in the meantime, I'd love to hear some of your hits and misses for 2018. And I'll be sharing my goals and outlook for 2019 next. Thanks so much.